Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to Hooked, the podcast where we help you gather some plot hooks for your players. With me this evening, we have...
Hi, it's me, Jonathan.
That's
hello.
So exciting. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
And I also have with me...
I'm Zane C. Weber, and I am not hosting this episode. Therefore, I am not responsible for what happened.
I bullied.
Bullied is a strong word. I think you suggested it.
I did suggest it, and you leapt on it. You're like, I don't have to host. That's great. Go for it. So I'm hosting today, and alongside on this journey is...
Dom Guilfoyle. Whomst the fuck?
Who let you
in? Have you ever been on this podcast before?
Who are you?
Who am I?
Who are you?
Who am I?
I don't know any of you people.
Oh,
well. Would that I could get to know you better. Fortunately, I have a question that might aid us in this.
That's so helpful.
I would like to ask each and every one of you, of all of the races and monsters in the Dungeons & Dragons, which one would you most like to smooch?
We went one whole episode without fairy content.
You can make it furry. I have not made it furry at all.
This is just the picture of the monster manual with husband written over the word
husbando?
Monster. Husbando? Yeah, the husband manual.
Question mark.
Okay, so the question
this is a big question.
Of all of the things that you might smooch in Dungeons & Dragons, which would you like to smooch?
Do you have the monster manual here?
I do, yes.
Jonathan's gone to get the monster manual.
Jonathan does some quick research. I think I've always found furbolgs appealing. They just seem like really peaceful,
yeah,
friendly
sure.
chaps.
I'll give you that, yeah.
And that's like,
and they've almost
nice they've, energy.
Yeah, and like the face isn't that furry, I feel like, yeah.
Look, I don't have things against furry
would
faces.
Would smooching a furbolg be like giving a pet a smooch?
Yeah, a little bit, except it can consent.
I mean, yeah, furbolgs are like sentient.
They're intelligent beings.
But
they're
what I mean is like,
races.
Would it not have
would
that same
feel like
feeling
it?
As like just giving
like
a pet a little?
Rubbing your face into a cat's belly.
Dangerous.
I mean,
well,
maybe. But like beards aren't that different to like animal hair. And I kiss people with beards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to make out with a cat. So like,
Tabaxi are off the table.
Tabaxi are off the table. But I
get off the table, Tabaxi.
Naughty.
I think furbolgs are humanoid enough for me to not feel like weirded out by like smooching them. And I think that they're just like, they have a nice vibe.
They do have a good vibe.
Yeah.
I think that while Jonathan continues to research, I think that I definitely know who I would not want to smooch.
Ooh.
I would not want to smooch.
Fire elementals.
You know, that's
core.
Not it.
Black puddings.
Just like, I smooched this.
Hey, I really dislike the monster manual with the phrasing, the savage degenerate troglodytes. That's bad words to use to describe a race of people.
They're not people, though. They're troglodytes, so it's fine.
No, that's a medium humanoid, according to them.
They're humanoid in shape.
So, I would least like to smooch elves because I feel like they would always act like they're better than me.
I think that's reflecting of your self-esteem.
Oh, it 100%
yeah.
is. It okay. 100% is. And that's for me and my therapist.
So, what races do you think would not act like they're better than you?
Halfling.
So, which races do you think that you are better than?
I feel like a halfling. with a halfling, you just be like, all right, thank you very much for the opportunity. Always happy to have a little bit of a smoochie.
Christ. Okay. I think maybe dwarves.
Okay.
They're friendly. They seem nice.
Some of them are.
Some of them
are quite gruff.
Are,
yeah.
Yeah, well, so are you.
Oh, look, I would never smooch a human being.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Who could imagine?
Not willingly. no thanks.
That's awkward. No thanks. Yeah.
Not even if you paid me $1 million. $1 trillion, I would never smooch anybody.
As an accountant, I think that's a falsehood. I think you know exactly what you would do with $1 trillion if I were to offer it to
just
you.
Just because I count for money doesn't mean that...
But you know how to hang on to that $1 trillion.
I know how to not pay tax on it.
Correct.
Okay, is that okay? Okay, we got it.
So Justin... Jonathan,
it's me, your oldest brother.
Have you found a picture of someone?
Goliath.
Okay.
Mood.
Big hot.
Yes.
that's the thought process.
Now I'm like, yes.
You are a wrestling fan.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, listen, I didn't want to go too furry with it today. I wanted to keep it tame.
Keep
for
the
us.
Furry. I feel like
keep the furry audience coming back, but just like waiting for more. You know.
I mean, referring back to previous episodes, you would like to be a knob.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I want to smooch it.
No. That's so if you're different. A knoll and you want to smooch a Goliath, like that, I think that's
a pairing. If I'm a knoll, alternatively, Bugbear. Bugbear's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My current D&D character is just a very friendly Bugbear dad, and I love him a lot.
Bless.
Well, cider.
I feel like we've all gotten to know each other.
Well, what about you?
What about the one that's smooching you?
No. Yeah, okay, good.
Who do you want to smooch?
I'm scared.
I want to smooch a storm giant.
That's a fair choice, honestly.
Because they're wise and tempestuous and good and large.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they can step on
you.
You
really want a sugar daddy. Like, that's what you're after.
Mm. Anyway.
If I was to go for a system other than D&D.
You knew you'd regret it?
I knew I'd regret it. Mm-hmm. I knew I'd regret it.
It'd be the trolls from Cimberella.
I want to host
that's
the
only
podcast.
For me.
It'll be fun.
Look, don't worry.
I would
have said that shit even if you weren't the host.
That's true. So, we have got our magic together, which everyone knows is what we start with. So, who wants to describe it?
This is Gwillion Hedgemage, which is a strange... It's described as a hag wizard. It's a strange little, like, goblin sort of thing with a very long nose, and it's got very long ears and fingers and bluish purple and wavy hair and rags, and it looks like it had talking sort of like a weird sort of Welsh accent, but with a bit of a... Oh, come into my swamp,
that's
how dare you?
Yeah.
Oh. I definitely get a lot of, like, dark crystal vibes.
I like the Welsh accent as a choice, though. That's an underrated accent.
Won't you leave me alone to my woods for a moment? Oh, that's
a very good Welsh accent.
Yes, yeah.
It's very
it's a,
good.
It's a hard accent to do
yeah.
as well. Yeah.
That's why I like to do it whenever I can. To
yeah.
show
just
off.
Flex.
Yeah. What's your favorite English accent to do?
Honestly, Welsh is always fun. I can do Irish.
I said English
well.
Accent.
Fuck. Whoa.
I know, that's because the Welsh people would kill me for that.
When like, speaking accent, I don't know.
I think the Cornish accent's really high up there. Love a good West
oh,
Country
goodness.
Accent. Yeah. All right. Yeah. A trifle.
No
cider.
More.
Can you hit me with an oo-ar, please?
Oo-ar.
Thank you very much.
So we have our Magic the Gathering card and our, what is it, beneficiary?
Pronounce like that specifically?
Molto bene.
Yeah. Beneficiary.
Thank you. Yeah, that's good.
You're
I
welcome.
Like that.
You're welcome.
That's better. Now, can I get in a Cornish accent?
No. I can't do accents at all. I'm an accountant alone. Okay, so the way
accountants well known for not being able to do any accents.
Famously,
yeah, famously.
That's what you give up for the power to count. You give up your ability to do accents.
I will never make that sacrifice.
It's one I didn't make lightly.
Yeah,
you can really tell that in my style as a DM. Like every character has an accent, and every time I have to roll a dice, I'm like, wait.
That's why you have a dice roller.
Yeah.
So a little rundown about the structure. So first of all, we have pledge, which is where everyone pitches out the seed of their idea. So they give you a little... and then after that, we have the turn, which is where you turn your idea into something a little bit more solid and give us a little bit more about what's going on. And then at the end... Oh, you also have to name it. I'm reminding you all
Thank
now.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. Name your thing in the turn. And then you have the prestige. And that's where you explain how your players will interact with this, how it's going to work the game. Is it a whole game on its own? That sort of thing. And we all sort of like ask. So
we have fun here.
We have fun here. It's a nice space. So does anyone want to go first?
I can.
Okay.
Mine's a little bit rough. So mine is specifically for the Pathfinder system.
Okay.
Because I love hags, and Pathfinder has like more hags than you'd expect.
Me
they
too.
Don't like being called hags, though.
But Pathfinder has like 12 different kinds of hags, which I think is incredible. And so I like the idea of a coven of a myriad type of hags. I'm probably like 3 or 4. Don't go too far with it. That all have one shared hag mother who has passed away. And what you have to do is sort out a coven dispute over who actually inherits what. It's all about who's the beneficiary. This is set in a world where not all monsters are inherently evil. I want to be clear about that because too many D&D worlds.
No. I'm just interested in the politics of a hag coven hiring an adventuring party to
this
figure
is
out
a hyper specific
dispute.
One. Yeah, I feel need a party member who is a lawyer,
right? Yeah. Or one of them that they trust.
Yes. Yeah, I think they're adding the lawyer subclass in Tash's cult.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, no, because also in Pathfinder, there is a number of things that lead to you being able to have a hag background. I think it's like a half hag species you can play as, but also like there's a sorceress bloodline that is hag. Bloodline that you get hag based powers from your sorcery and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But basically the party has to come resolve these legal disputes, and they could do it in many party ways. They could just kill them, as parties are wont to do. Mm. They could actually like attempt to become legal experts in a fantasy world while understanding hag lore, which you would have to create, and I think that'd be really fun.
That's what
to
I would
world
do.
Build
so
hag
that's what
lore.
I would
yeah.
do.
Like all sorts of fun ideas that you. Could
I
want to
write
that.
Hag lore now.
No.
Note to
so
self.
I'm save it for the prestige, but I just had a great idea of a very specific kind of campaign.
Write it down for
go.
Me.
Okay, well, I'll go next. I'm basically creating the hook is that a town or someone of authority is hiring the adventurers to figure out what is killing people in the forest.
Right.
So basically, inside the town, people are safe, but as soon as they go outside of the town, every now and then, like maybe every week or every couple of weeks, someone either gets brutally mauled or otherwise beaten, but it doesn't look like it's happening by an animal. For all intents and purposes, it looks as if it's getting like they get caught in like a cyclone of trees, and they're just like whipped with branches, but there are like claw marks but like wood splinters in them. It's basically weird, and no one can find any trace of any big animals. You're in an environment where like the biggest animal might be like a puma or a wolf, whereas this is like a big animal, but it also looks to be made of trees.
So are they alive? Like, do they come back alive or are they dead?
Some of them do, some of them die.
Okay.
Yeah, and the ones that come back...
They send some survivors
say, to one. No, they say that they were attacked, but they couldn't figure out what it was. Like, it was just... It looked like a the trees came to life.
So that scene from the... It was the forest itself.
Yeah, and that's my pledge.
I like it.
My turn.
Yeah.
So, at one point, while the party are traveling through a forest, they hear these strange cries and yelps for help and that sort of thing, that they recognize it's one, if any of the party understands any like Sylvan or any of those sorts of like nature based languages, they might understand some of the words, and basically they, you know, hopefully if they're good people, they come over and try to help, and they see what the creature from the card is being set upon by some bandits, and it's trying to defend itself, but they're getting the upper hand, and the party will hopefully defeat the bandits, or it's a TK, I don't know, but if it defeats bandits, the little creature's like, oh, you bloody well saved me. Oh, I like in common eventually, like after figures out that's what they speak. Oh, I owe you a debt for the rest of my life. I do. I'll never forget all of you. I always repay my debts. I tell you what.
Life debts, dangerous.
And so yeah, the party is just like, oh yeah. And you know, I like for the rest of the journey through the forest, they don't really encounter anything. It's pretty cruisy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time they're in a different forest, like a wolf or something is just like a wolf pack is circling, and then they hear a rustling, and that little creature jumps out and say, "All right, folks, these guys are okay. You don't need to do nothing to them."
Right.
In a different forest entirely.
Okay. Suspicious.
Is it? I don't even know.
Everything is. Okay.
I think you're just suspicious.
I'm naturally suspicious.
Accountant. I don't.
How many times can we say the word accountant in one podcast?
I know. I don't know. I've lost accountant.
So Dom's out of the podcast. Jonathan.
Yes.
Turn.
The turn. I got to read out what Zane has here because this is incredible.
Okay.
You become a team of fantasy lawyers solving monster problems, Boston Legal style.
Yeah.
Which I am super here for.
I would play that.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't expecting the Boston Legal reference, but I'm so... Because
you have to have like the one person who's like the private eye that goes and investigates things.
100%.
You have like the arbitrator and
also,
you have the litigator.
Characters are always just the crazy. craziest, and like much like any character in Boston Legal.
You have to have
crazy.
The one in the office on the computer who like does the does the thing. Yeah, the fantasy hacker. Well,
and then then much like in every campaign, there's always the one person who goes, oh, I guess I'll be the healer. There's the one person in this who goes, oh, I guess I'll be William Shatner.
Yeah. Well, like the thing that happens is I was reading up on an RPG called Armorer Stir, which is a high fantasy mecha RPG that I'm looking to run at some point.
That's made for you.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm loving life. But one of the things that it has is like in your sessions, it says to introduce B plots that it gives people in like a combat heavy session, you can have your diplomat off doing something else and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Which would work really well with this, where if you want to go for like the legal idea, don't go for Pathfinder, go for a system that has more narrative freedom. Mm. I'm speaking way too much for the turn, but still, like,
it's okay.
You have a bunch of options for that.
I think it's really interesting to bring in like other like games so like the plots aren't just for D&D. Yeah. Although we talk about D&D all the time.
Yeah, but we default to D&D, but we try to make it.
So it's always nice when you bring up like other RPs that play, so that like they're like, oh, that sounds really cool, and then they take our, you know.
But the turn is that I guess you in this for the first one of the whole campaign, like you have to find a way to resolve all the hag's issues. You have to deal with the way of like the fact that the mother died without a will, didn't sort out anything for all the kids, that kind of stuff. And then from there you can just convince, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a really nice.
And the name for this one is, hang on, I'm just
looking.
Because
we've only had one.
Yeah, the first one.
I'm reminding you.
Yeah. Okay, whoa.
I'm just looking through IMDb movies about will disputes. I'm looking at Hot Hag and Cold Feet, the Billion Dollar Hag. Billion Dollar Hag could work.
What is that in reference to?
Hot Lead and Cold Feet. I just changed it.
Uh-huh. No, but Billion Dollar?
Is that Billion Dollar Hobo is the original.
I haven't heard of these movies in my life.
Yeah. Listen, I'm intrigued. It's good. Fire, Ice, and Hags? I don't know, like...
If it was a custody dispute, it'd just be hag versus hag.
Yeah. What's the next thing that we have to do again?
The prestige, how your players are going to interact with it.
There we go.
Which is
the thing I've done already, yeah.
Basically what I was putting down there, yeah.
You could come up with some other, like,
the mistake I made was I did the turn in the first part as well. I hoisted myself on
this
one.
It was fine.
This show is jazz, baby.
Yeah, it's jazz.
It's all about the parts of
Zane
that you don't remember to do right.
Give us some structure.
I shall.
Yeah.
So in my turn, so basically if your players investigate, there are two things that they suggest to do. Either investigate the people that it has happened to and question them, or go find Gwilly and the Hedge Mage, because maybe they can do it, but no one's got far enough out of the town to actually in towards where they live to contact them and ask them what's going on, if they can do something about it. So if they talk to the townspeople, you'll find that each of them in the not so recent past have done something pretty bad, like maybe beat their children or kill an animal that didn't deserve it, or for no particular reason, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you find that there is a link that they're kind of like, good people aren't getting attacked, but bad people are.
Right.
And so when you go to find Gwilion the Hedge Mage, you actually encounter this beast that can jump tree to tree like a dryad or whatever, but it is like a fearsome lion looking thing made out of brambles and trees and wood claws and what have you. And depending on the alignments of your party, or if they've done anything particularly mean or stupid in the last however long you want to set, maybe it will focus specifically on those members of the party.
Right.
So if you can get past it, like, and then if you're strong enough to get past it, it'll just run away in forest by jumping into a tree. You can't get it then. But then you can go see Gwilion and find Gwilion is or unwell.
Oh no. So
in their little
does the like the preachery thing like inherent know if someone's bad?
Yeah, basically. Okay. So it can smell you, and if it can smell whether you've done something bad or
it,
if
like,
you're
sniffs the air
bad.
And it's like, you're a dick.
Yeah.
And just goes.
Yeah. So like if you're a neutral character but you've done something that would be considered evil, then in however long, then it will attack basically. And I'm going to call this the Judgment Forest. All right.
Well, Jonathan, what was yours in comparison?
Oh God, who knows? Honestly,
all of those. Yeah,
I'm just
going to
look up some lawyer terms that I can just chuck in.
When your prestige will just be you picking names.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'll have a short list for you.
Okay,
why not just like favor in legal or something?
I've just typed in lawyer Latin, so we'll have something soon.
And you need a theme song just to put the pressure on. Don't.
Hi.
Shit, what?
Oh yeah, that's a new thing we didn't tell you about. Where this goes is that now basically whenever the party are going through like a particularly dense wooded area, if they encounter trouble, this little fellow will just jump out from the nearest knot of wood and be like, if it's a monster or if it's an animal that's like threatening them, he'll be like, oh wait, calm it down now. If it's a monster or a bandit, he'll lend them aid. Oh, by the way, his name's Llewellyn. And yeah, he's basically like, it can be something that the party considers in future, where it's just like, oh, you could take the short route across the plains, or you could take a longer route that goes through the forest, and you'll be like, you'll have Llewellyn there to help you out if you need it. And that can be like just something to keep in mind going forward. And Llewellyn doesn't mind like coming to your aid because, he can be anywhere there's forest. He's a very old creature and surprisingly powerful in certain ways and very long lived. So like the little time he spends helping the party out, it's a blink of Llewellyn's little weird scabby little eye. And yeah,
so like anytime they need aid
in the forest,
in a
dense forest, like Llewellyn be there is like a helpful NPC.
Okay, do they have to summon or does he just,
oh, if he's always nearby when they're in the forest, you know, he's like
he's just there.
Okay,
yeah, he's like the vibe is that he's a surprisingly powerful but in specific ways, as you know, as fey creatures often are.
Truly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually have a name.
Okay, go.
Monstrous Mediation. Oh, that's not bad. I'm pretty happy with that one.
It's a good one. Yeah.
Is Llewellyn the Hill Hag.
Yeah.
Even though he's not really a hag, that's the hard
part. He's
just a little bit fey.
And yes. Now I have to do the thing, don't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the thing.
Well, this can really be like how the game interacts like with what you've come up with.
Well, so what I came up with is like how that goes from just the hags to actually helping out monsters around the land, right? Which is, turns out the hags are from a particularly influential family, quite an important hag family. And so they put in a good word with you with some of the other local monsters. Your name travels around, and soon you got all sorts of monsters coming to you for the aid in their legal troubles, or just life troubles, you know? So in the legal trouble side of things, you get like the combat aspect for the fight against toughs for information. I think it's a campaign that puts a lot of emphasis on non-lethal things.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't just kill anyone while doing a legal case, you know? But sometimes
you have to throw down if someone's like fronting up, and you have to like just like no, I'm going to beat you in single combat, then you're going to tell me.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Right? And like, I think you could also end up in situations where they have to become mediators between non-monstrous people and monstrous people, where like tensions rise and that kind of stuff, and you offer like the imp and that sort of stick.
I like it as an alternative to just like, because parties do often tend to go for the like, I'll just like
hit it,
yeah. Right?
Yeah.
If I can't figure out like if the puzzle's too hard or you know, if they, no one in the party has got particularly good charisma, then they're like, oh, I'm just gonna, it'll be fine.
Yep.
So I guess it gives another aspect to the parties for like players who like combat but also like more of that like role playing. Yep. And like,
I have a big preference for narrative focused games as opposed to like real combat.
That's definitely something you could cover in an episode zero, season episode. It's all the same thing, really, like, when you're doing podcasts.
The one worry that I'd have is I don't know an easy way to bring magical challenges into this like specific legal aspect of it, but I think also if you discuss with your players, hey, maybe stick away from this class and this class, but these ones might do better, I think it's a fair,
you could structure it specifically.
Exactly,
Oh, I guess you could even combo it into like dueling if you wanted to bring in if you wanted to add more combat and stuff like that to it, you could bring in like a magical dueling aspect to it.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, so like you
dueling
get to,
for honor of
exactly,
two parties,
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
So,
that actually really fun, yeah,
because you know, like set in fantasy worlds,
I
want to
play this campaign.
I kind of do too.
Welcome to Hooked.
Yeah.
I did actually get to play an accountant in a one shot. We had a Halloween one shot, and we got to pick. We did Call of Cthulhu, so I put 3 points into accounting, and I actually got to use it. And I'm pretty sure I saved the day with it. So
there we go.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, you can't play Call of Cthulhu and save the day. That's not what that game.
No, I did.
About.
Also, it's just like you.
I did die. But it was a very valiant death.
All right. Well,
it was a very valiant death.
Yeah, also, I like this, like, actually, we got to the, and turns out the Shoggoth's one true fear is the IRS or something.
Yeah.
It's like, you did a severe audit of its finances and it was taken away to a debtor's prison.
No, yep. I did think you just said IRA and was real confused for a second.
Yeah,
the Shoggoth's one weakness,
come
nail
out
bombs.
Your black and tans.
Oh my God. So it just goes to show that like D&D campaigns don't just have to be like, we go to a town, we kill some people,
I mean, that's the thing, D&D campaigns don't always have to be D&D campaigns.
Yeah, I was about to say, play a different RPG. That's what I'm here for, play a different RPG.
It's true.
So the prestige, basically the final of the story is that Gwillion has basically poisoned themselves in order to make some concoction and cast an enchantment on some forest creature to protect them while they were out of sorts, basically.
Right.
And then that just kind of, it gets more powerful every noon with every passing day. So they just kind of, and they were out of commission for longer than expected. So it kind of got more and more powerful. So then it's a matter of like, how do you convince something that is out of control? It's basically then the party has to fight a lawful stupid creature instead of a lawful stupid player. I wouldn't describe the tree beast as a himbo, as just like a tree lion sort of thing.
I would slightly describe it as
And I think so Gwillion can give you the key to like when you defeat it or if you defeat it and how to actually the key to do it rather than because it will just run away otherwise. And I think that's basically it. That's a pretty simple kind of story in that, and then Gwillion and the town would be
real thankful,
but also now they have something that can tell if someone's good or evil, basic, or has done some allies.
So the prestige for Llewellyn the Head Flag is the turn and stuff was that you've got a fey friend that'll help you in the forest, but the prestige is that you have the attention of a fey creature, which is often not the best thing. So like you've got a new NPC in the campaign, and you know maybe he'll be like, I've got this problem in this part of the woods or something, or oh, there's been some expansion of this town that's threatening my woods, that sort of thing. Maybe he'll call on you. But also, if you have other non-Llewellyn related quests that also wind up you going through the woods or anything, or interacting with the woods, you can wind up kind of getting on Llewellyn's bad side, and then you'll find that he'll I think I've repaid my debts to you, and now I consider you to be a threat to the forest, sort of thing. So there's an element of a tightrope walk whenever you're in any proximity to the woods now, because you know, Llewellyn might help us out if we get in trouble, but if Llewellyn doesn't like the way we're behaving in his woods, Llewellyn could also become our worst nightmare and we might need to stay away from us forever. So yeah, it's Llewellyn the Head Flag is all about just changing the way the party kind of behaves in a large chunk of the world and making them think more about their actions and behaviours sometimes when they're travelling, when they're doing quests and so this.
I definitely think one of my favourite things, Faye, is like, oh yeah, we're really good friends and this is like, there's no bad downside to this, and then you realise that simply because of the fact that you're friends with one Faye means that you are not friends with all that Faye's enemies.
Yeah, that too.
I think that's it's a great way of adding tension into a game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's just like, maybe the Faye asks you to like attack another Faye creature, and it's just like, oh, so I'm either getting on a different Faye creature's bad side, or I'm getting on Llewellyn's bad side because they didn't do this. Oh, great. Those sorts of unfortunate consequences.
Yes. Yeah. Nice. Oh, poor Llewellyn.
I'd like to quickly say I've got a song.
Is it the theme from Boston Legal?
Is it something we can actually hear?
I don't think...
No, but I can say the name for people to listen to.
Sure.
It's a song called Withered by Beggar's Canyon. It's very Americana folk, which I actually think changes the tone of the campaign a little, but I like the idea of like solving disputes.
You're going to have a southern lawyer.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, 100%.
Now I'm thinking
well,
about...
Well, I'm just a small town country boy.
Now, Mr. Paladin, I don't...
Yeah. God, now I'm thinking about that lawyer from...
Yeah, the hyper chicken.
Yeah.
that's my go-to lawyer thought. That's who I think
I'm sorry, I thought you was caught.
Goodness.
There you go. There's a theme.
I really like it.
People listen to it. Enjoy.
That's hooked.
That's hooked.
Yeah.
We learned some stuff and things today. now I'm going to do the thing that started it all, which is just read you the comments, which I wanted to do originally.
You can find us on Facebook and you can find us on Twitter, and you can email us at podcast.hooked@gmail.com.
Thank you. I don't know that bit. I guess we've been here with some folk today. It wasn't just me. Do you want me to do the comments bit first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's a bad sound. Didn't like that one.
Okay. Hook podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivatives 4.0 International License. This means that you are free to share and redistribute the material in any medium or format if you give appropriate credit, do not use the material for commercial purposes, and do not remix, transform, build upon the material in any way. Copyright for the original stories remains with the author and may not be used, duplicated, or changed in any way without specific written permission from the author.
I really wish I was ready for that. I would have loved to have joined.
That's fine. I wasn't ready. So, with me on this joyous occasion has Ben.
It's me, Jonathan. You can find me at Raceloid, where I haven't recorded in a while, but probably will in the future, maybe.
Who's to say?
Oh, also on my Twitter, at Pirate Killjoy.
Tweet?
I tweet about wrestling. I tweeted about Gundam today. That's what I did.
A change up. I like it. And also...
Zancy Weber. You can find me on any of my very many, many podcasts. Castology. And Then They Fuck. Glass of Wine, which is no longer playing. Or Hook, this podcast. I'm also on that one. Musicals taught me everything I know. And then A New World Order, which is also finished. And then One Third of Life, if you want to hear me speak softly and in a deep timbre to make you sleep. The end.
That's it?
Yeah. It's not it. There's more.
There's so many. I want to see if you do them all. And also...
Hi, my name has been and will continue to be Dom, and find me on the Mistome Museum of Mystery, Morbidity, and Mortality. It's a fiction podcast that I create, and people tell me it's
pretty good.
Oh, you've listened?
I've listened.
Yeah,
what'd you bring it? Yeah.
I'm not on Twitter. I'm not allowed to be.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm like Andrew Smith. And also, I was here, but no one needs to know that. Let's go!
Hello and welcome to an advertisement for the Penny Peep Show. What is the Penny Peep Show? Well, in our podcast factory, our podcast scientists have been working hard on a range of light-hearted radio play anthology series that everyone can enjoy.
Criminy Cricket, spokesperson! Is there a light-hearted radio play anthology series for me?
No, every series is marked explicit. But why not tell your parents, nameless child? They'll find the Penny Peep Show wherever good podcasts are stocked. The Penny Peep Show. It's like dissolving your ears in a cocaine-laden off-brand soda.
Is that a good thing?
Shut up, nameless child.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.